Hi, this is Heaton Shaw.
And this is Stelly Efty.
And today on the Startup Chat, we're going to talk about how to hire marketing people.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life. And hopefully, while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
Yeah, we want you to do your best.
Yes. So, I mean, I'm glad that I have you on this podcast. But of course, I've also hired a bunch of marketing people in my life, but
yeah, yeah. Take credit for what you've done, man. You've hired marketing people and your company does great marketing.
So first of all, maybe one interesting way of thinking about this or talking about this, kind of unpacking it for the listeners, is to, I think there's some things that are universal in terms of hiring that we both agree on, or that you look for in every single hire, right? Being a culture fit is the first thing that comes to my mind. But then there's things that are specific to certain type of people that you want to hire.
Absolutely.
Hiring a CEO is different than hiring a head of marketing is different than hiring the head of product, right? You're looking for different type of personalities and personal profiles. So what are some of the key things when you think about hiring marketing people that you're looking for? Both looking for in terms of these are the type of things I need to hire somebody as a marketing person, but also this is the way you successfully find marketing talent. Maybe there's specific places or ways of approaching that talent pool or that group of people that's different from others.
Yeah, so there's a couple things there. I'm going to start with, there's sort of two things basically in my mind about it. There's hiring individual contributors, so people that are doing the work. And then there's hiring sort of more marketing managers or CMOs, VP of marketing, director of marketing, or just a general marketing manager that's managing a bunch of stuff. So I'm going to start with like what applies to both categories, and then we can get into kind of like the other sides of it. Because I'm assuming you have experience hiring a bunch of individual contributors for sure, right? And probably less experience hiring senior marketing people, I would assume. And so let's break it out like that. So first of all, one of the things that I believe in today's world when it comes to marketing is that regardless of who the marketer is, they really need to understand marketing. It doesn't matter if they're senior or individual contributor, there's a bunch of basics of marketing, right? Like you wouldn't want to hire a marketer that, hates marketing. I know that sounds weird, but like there are a lot of people out there that say, oh, all marketing is bad. Right. And there are even marketers out there that kind of walk around or people that could be marketers that walk around with that attitude. And that's no good. Right. You have to believe that there is great marketing that can be created. And with that great marketing that businesses can thrive. Right. And I've met people who are in marketing that really don't want to be in marketing. Right. They care so much about customer support, or they care a lot more about sales, that like actually doing marketing and testing and experimentation and figuring out the positioning of the company and all these kind of things aren't really in their DNA. Ideally the things I look for in any marketer is like they have some level of curiosity. And they have the ability to like look around the world and see great marketing and understand what it is. So for example, if you're an email marketer and you're not able to tell me whose email marketing you love, and when I interview you, you're probably not a great email marketer, or if I pull up an email in my inbox and I show it to you and you can't critique it on the spot, but yet I'm hiring you to do our emails, I don't want to hire you. Right. So you should definitely hire people who know their role, right? Who know what they can do with it. Now, the caveat here is if you're hiring someone junior and you're seeing, the potential in them and you think they can do it, that might be something where you can let it slide. That being said, I want to know they have an opinion about the job they're going to do. I want to know that they have an opinion about marketing. The reason is a lot of marketing, and I hate to say this because I'm a marketer, I've hired marketers and I talk to marketers a lot. A lot of it's opinion driven at first, and then it turns into analysis experimentation. You have to have some opinion. And a lot of people divide this up into creativity versus analysis. So are you a creative mind and are you coming up with lots of creative ideas, or are you analytical and are you really thinking about the data? One of the things that I've seen, if I were to look for a marketer today, regardless of what role, I actually want someone that's great at both. I want someone that actually can be creative to some extent or has hacks for being creative, like they really know how to run brainstorming sessions or get the best ideas to bubble up from the team, which is totally fine if they don't feel like they're creative. I know a lot of marketers are like that, where they're, no matter what, they have this skill set of creativity, whether it's in themselves or they're able to align a team or do brainstorming or even pull it from the customer. That's all good. And then the best marketers, regardless of, you know, level or style, they're also hyper analytical. And that could mean either they know how to use the tools really well. They at least think of the numbers and understand that all of marketing is really experimentation against your creativity. And sometimes I mean really against it. And those two things are how I assess, right? Are they more creative themselves? Can they get creative somehow, whether it's through brainstorming or pulling data from the customers? And also, what is their analytical prowess? Like, are they able to look at the data and make some decisions? And it's pretty easy to do that by, like, you know, if you were interviewing them and really wanted to assess that by just on the creative side, you just ask them, like, how do you generate ideas for marketing? And you just listen to what they say. And there is no right answer, really, that I would say, oh, they have to say this, because what I've learned is that if I go for a right answer, I might miss out on someone who's really creative and they can get the creativity out of the team, but they're not necessarily creative themselves. Their creativity starts with, you know, other things like looking at other people's stuff, and then they really are able to grok it and understand the differences between and the nuances between one email and another email and things like that. But then they pull the creativity out of there. So it's really just asking people, how do you come up with new marketing ideas if you really want to understand how they think about creativity? And then on the analytical side, just show them some analytics. Just show them something. Show them a Google Analytics report. Show them an email report of like a few campaigns you're running, or show them an ad campaign that you have going on, or a hypothetical one, and try to understand how they would measure and optimize, right? And a lot of times some people, especially more senior people, might be like, oh, I have people on my team to do it. Here's how I think they should be, which is totally acceptable if you're hiring a senior role. If they're running a certain part of your marketing, whether it's your blog or your social media or your email marketing or even ad campaigns, I would expect them to have a lot more detail about how they, especially in their core area, if nothing else, about how they look at the data. So these are sort of my high level two things. Creativity and ability to analyze data are the two things I would weigh on and find those two questions. One is like, you know, again, how do you come up with marketing ideas? And that's for the creative side. And then for the analytics side is how do they think about looking at data? So give them an example and let them tell you what they would do with that campaign or with that set of data.
I love that. And you know, the first thing you said, I had to smile so much, because I could imagine some people thinking, well, who is in marketing and doesn't like marketing? Or who... Who does content marketing but isn't really reading a lot of content marketing? That seems like such a weird, unique case. You'd be fucking surprised how many people are in marketing and don't like marketing. Or like we had this case once where we had this person that seemed like a great marketer and great energy and great culture fit. A lot of things were positive about this person. But very soon as we started working with her, we realized that although she was experienced in doing content marketing and in SaaS, she was not a consumer of SaaS content marketing, and she had no interest in it. So when you would ask questions like, what is your favorite blog? What's your favorite newsletter to be on? Who's a great writer in the SaaS content space that you like? There were no answers to these questions because there was no interest. Well, it's very hard to be really amazing at something if you have very little interest in that broader area. So I find that to be an example that is surprisingly common and not as rare as you might think of it the first time you hear it. Here's another thing that I look for. And this is a little weird one, but honestly, like, if you want a marketing job, I want to see So obviously I want to talk to you about your marketing experience, and I want to kind of hear what you've done, and I want to discuss some ideas with you and all that. But I also want to see that you are good at marketing, right? I want to see and hear it. And this is, I look for clues everywhere. What is your, like, how do you write emails? Do you have a, what's your social media accounts look like? If you have a Twitter account, an Instagram, or Facebook, or LinkedIn, or whatever, and you don't need to be good at any one of them, right? But do I get the sense that here's a person that understands how to market an idea themselves, how to build an audience, how to interact with a broader community or group of people? Yes, you wanted to say something.
Yeah, I was just saying that I love that you said that, because, you know, a lot of times when you hire people, you think about, okay, first interview or first pass and then second pass. And I think the things I talked about are like basic questions. And what you're getting into is basically assessment, right? You can assess someone before they even come in into the role, right? Or I'm sorry, not into the role, but into the interview. So I love that you mentioned looking at their own social media, their own Facebook, even their own LinkedIn.
Yeah.
Right. And so I wanted to riff on that for a second, on the pre-hiring side of it, where I'm sorry, pre-contact side of it, meaning like they might have contacted you, but you haven't talked to them yet.
Yeah.
The things you said are perfect, right? Look at all that stuff. Look at all the assets they have out there that they're creating for themselves, which honestly is also their marketing. Like, we're in a world today where, like, if you're a marketer, you better be marketing yourself all the time if you really want to say it like that, right? But like, your Facebook's posts matter, your Twitter posts matter, your Instagram matters, the email you send matters, the resume you send, the LinkedIn you have. I mean, if you look at, like, you know, if you want an example, go to find on LinkedIn one of the colleagues I used to work with that I actually hired at Kissmetrics. His name is Lars Lofgren. He started out as a marketing analyst, and now he's the head of growth at I Will Teach You to Be Rich, my buddy Ramit Sethi's organization. And his resume talks about all his accolades while he was at Kissmetrics, and the way he essentially, in Stelly's words, crushed it, right? And if you looked at his resume, you'd be like, oh crap, like, I want to hire this person. Like, he knows how to frame his himself as a marketer and talk about his successes. You know how, like, a salesperson puts, like, their quota exceed, you know, how they exceed quota and all this and that, right? It's kind of a similar thing in marketing. You better be able to market yourself on your LinkedIn, or you're not really worth your salt in marketing. I'm sorry, I don't care. You know, like, it takes too long to figure you out at that point. So that's one thing. When you're in the interview, I think the same thing, the thing I would say that you were saying would be like, ask them why they did certain things on their social media. Like, hey, I noticed, like, you get a lot of likes on your posts on Instagram. Why? Like, are you doing anything deliberate, or is that intuitive? Like, how do you think about it? Right. And I know that's a weird question, because Instagram's supposed to be a personal thing, but, like, I want to know how they think about their Instagram posts, because I know a lot of people think about their Instagram posts very craftily before they put them up, even if they're not marketers. So if you're a marketer and you have a personal Instagram, I'm actually curious how you do that. And that could extend to Twitter. That could even extend to the email they sent you. You know, like, why'd you write the email the way you did? So asking them questions like that really definitely help you understand them. And then I want to make one other point before, you know, we get into whatever kind of comes next. But, like, the other point I would make is on the second stage assessment, and I know you and I have probably shared this before, the best thing you can do is after that first interview, the first meeting, if you want them to continue, make them do an assignment, make them do a task, make them do some homework. I really love the 1-2 pager, where it's like, hey, can you write up a 1-2 pager on what we should be doing about email marketing? Let's say we're hiring an email marketer. That's just the example in my head. If it was social media, it'd be social media. I would love you to write up the strategy and or the tactics you would use once you come in. Another example would be, tell me what you do in the first 90 days or the first 30 days of joining the company in this area. And if you need some data or have some questions, let me know, and I'll share whatever I can with you. Right. And that works really well if you're being loose. What works even better is if especially if you're trying to assess multiple candidates, is you actually have like a quick write-up on exactly what the assignment is, including data, including a scenario, if you want to go there. A story about the situation, it should be a situation that's actually relevant to the company and something they would work on once they join. And then you give that to like 10 candidates, right? And then honestly, your job becomes really easy in figuring out who you want to hire, because you just hire based on what you heard from them in the first interview, and then a lot of how they put that document together. And you also make sure you give them guidance that, like, I don't want you to spend more than an hour on this, or I don't want you to spend more than 2 hours on this. And if I think you did, then you've essentially failed the assignment, you know, and you would include that in the write-up. That's how you can formalize the process, at least on that second stage. And after that, the third stage, I think you should just be able to figure out who you want to hire if you take that deliberate process.
Yeah, I love that. Okay, and one just a quick recent example, and then let's wrap it up with some tips for this episode. And this doesn't just apply to marketing people, but it's such a recent example that I'll bring it up. It's so fresh in mind. So I was speaking at a marketing conference recently, and after the talk, there was, I was on my way out of the conference building that, you know, a person stopped me and she was like, hey, before you rush out of this place, I wanted to say hi. I wanted to look you in the eye. I want to work for you. I want to work in your company. And the main reason why I'm interested is, you know, the culture that you described and the vibe that I got from you is that this is going to be the type of place I want to work at, because right now I'm not happy about the culture. I'll follow up with an email. I'm like, cool. I'm glad that you stopped me. I'm glad that you took that. I know it takes some courage to stop somebody and say, hi, I appreciate that. I'm looking forward to your email, right? So this is a marketing person. And what she did in the follow-up is she sent me an email. And you could tell that it was really, really passionate and that she was really all pumped up and everything. She looked at the open job positions that we had in marketing, and then she attached her CV. And the CV really killed me. This is a general tip, like this goes for everybody, but for somebody in marketing especially, here's what killed me about the CV is we're looking for a very specific type of marketing people. By the way, if you're in marketing and you want to work with an awesome company, shoot me an email at stella@close.io. But go check out our job postings first. Because her CV, she was describing very different job positions in marketing always, in lots of different interesting companies. And each position and each thing she worked in had very little seemingly to do with the other. And all of it was telling no story whatsoever on how this fits into what we want and need today. Right? So it's like, let's say I'm saying I'm looking for a writer or an email marketer, and then you sent me your CV and it's like, I was doing paid advertising over here, I helped do a PR campaign over here, and then I helped write up an ebook at that other company. I want to work for you in email marketing. And I'm like, well, nothing here tells me that you have any fucking clue about email marketing. And also, I'm struggling to see the story. Yes, it was all marketing, but seemingly you were working on totally different projects and always just once. So a lot of people, they don't think about their CV again as a story, as a marketing document. Pitch me and tell me and draw me in on why you are the person I'm looking for. I'm pretty sure that if you, even in this exam that I brought up, if you think about it creatively, you could say, hey, you know, we did this PR thing and captured thousands of emails and sent them these amount of sequences of emails and got them to do something. Or this ebook was really a lead magnet and we did a lot of email related stuff around it, or whatever else. Like, just try to customize your CV to tell a cohesive story. And even if you can't, you could go, hey, I knew I ultimately everything in marketing is, you know, writing compelling messages. So I was on the copywriting part of this PR deal, this book deal, this SEO deal, this other project. So I've done copywriting, or I've done writing compelling copy in a multitude of different projects, but it's always been, my thing has always been to come up with compelling copy, and I want to translate this now to email or whatever it is. But don't send me a CV where I have to struggle to understand who you are, what your experience is, and I cannot see a single thing on this CV that relates to the open job positions that we have in marketing, right? And that is, I think, the general piece of advice for people. When you look at your CV, customize the CV. Don't lie, please, but customize the CV to tell a cohesive story, or to tell me how these positions and these jobs related to what we are looking for, rather than just giving me a generic history of your job positions And now I have to do the hard work of trying to figure out why this is appealing to me or not, or how this relates to our position. And especially, again, if this comes from somebody that wants a support job, I might be more forgiving because I'm like, all right, I'm looking for different things than marketing abilities or storytelling abilities when I'm looking for somebody in support. But when you're in marketing and you sent me a document to look at, and I look at that document and I realize you didn't customize that, you didn't look at it, and this document is not at all communicating a message clearly, that to me is a bad signal. That to me, I see this as something that I'll bring up if we continue to talk, or maybe if there's enough red signals that might be the last thing on top of it that makes me go, you know what, I don't think this person can move on in our process.
Yeah, I think that's killer. I mean, I'm going to give my tip that's almost like, it's basically the same thing and it said kind of the opposite or different way, but it's basically like the best candidates that we've hired, they come inbound and they come very contextually, and they're always, always, always very specific about why they want the role. And they're very contextual to our business. So it could be as simple as actually reading the job postings and aligning with that and talking about your skill sets around that or your passion around it. Or, you know, better yet, maybe you've broken down something for us that and you know we suck at it. And you're talking about how you'd like to help and you believe that you can, because, you know, anybody who does that deep of a job of like actually assessing our company, we're going to take a lot more seriously. It's as simple as that.
I love it. All right. So my tip on top of that, this is also building on some of the things that we said earlier today, but is, you know, marketing is such an appealing area of work that I think it attracts a lot of people that are not truly passionate about it, but that have chosen it as like a good career path. And because it's interesting, because it's appealing, there's a lot of opportunities out there. It sounds like a good thing to do, but they're not truly passionate about marketing. They're not people that are truly hardcore passionate about the job of marketing. So I would just try to figure out, is this somebody, when you think about hiring marketing people, is this somebody that truly loves marketing versus somebody who likes it? And I think the differences are just humongous. Like, people who truly love marketing, they can't but help become really great at marketing and do really great marketing. And people who like marketing, they'll do fine. They'll do a good job. But there's a difference between doing a good job and making a real difference. And the people that you want to hire in marketing for your startup should be people that can make a real difference. And the easiest way for them to do that is if they're truly passionate about marketing, if they're consumers of great marketing, if they have a great taste level in marketing, and if they're really honestly passionate about the area and not just chose it and liking it and thinking this is a good job and I'm doing okay. And so I would really try to figure out explicitly and implicitly, is this somebody that truly loves it? And I think that's it for us for this episode.
Yeah. Until next time.
All right.
Good luck hiring.
Good luck hiring great marketing people. Bye-bye.
Bye.